Good morning, everybody. So good to be here with you all this morning. My name is Patrick Bicknell. I'm the location pastor here in Walled Lake. I tell you what, it feels so good to have a working mic. Last week, if you weren't with us, we had a little bit of a power outage, so I had to kind of scream the whole time. So I get home that day, and I'm like, I'm not talking the rest of the day. Let me just sit here. And like, it was the best thing ever. Maybe we should turn the mics off more often, right? But no, I'm just kidding. It was great. So good to be with you guys. Now, if you have with you, I'm sure you guys are wondering, what? Pastor, what are we doing with these stir sticks? What's going on? You guys got your stir sticks with you? Everyone, you want me to show it up real quick? Anyone break theirs yet, right? Any got any fidgeters in here that broke it? I'm a fidgeter, and I'm sitting in it with my pocket. I'm like, don't break, don't break, don't break. And all I'm thinking is, break it in half and play with it and have fun. I'm a fidgeter, all right? So that was my thing. But this week, Pastor Jason in Waterford, he's like, I got a sermon illustration for this week. This is what I'm going to do. And we, as location pastors heard it, we're like, that's sweet. Let's do it. So we got stir sticks for everybody, and it will make sense later on. It'll probably make sense right as we read this few verses for today. Now, in Waterford, they probably all got it, like, instantly. Like, yeah, that makes sense, because Pastor Jason, he about does a sermon illustration every week, and they're always unique, weird, crazy things. I don't think I've done a sermon illustration once since being here. I'm not creative enough for it. But we got the stir sticks this morning, so it'll make sense in a little bit, I promise. So if you have your Bible, go ahead to Hebrews chapter 10, continuing through our Let Us series. If you don't have a Bible, grab one behind the chairs. We have a couple at the guest services desk out back. Be happy for you to take that home and study the word. Follow along with us on the screen. But I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump into the word and see what the Lord has for us this morning, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for this amazing opportunity to study your word, to be here worshiping you freely gathered together. What a blessing it is to have these wonderful freedoms. And Lord, I pray right now that as I preach, that it be your Holy Spirit speaking through me, that you would penetrate hearts and hear, that you would encourage us, that you help us to see the commands of your word and to apply it to our lives. So, Father, we give you all the glory, and we pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen. So we are in Hebrews chapter 10. We are actually continuing on from last week. We did verses 19 through 23. This week we're going to be in verses 24 to 25, and I want to read that first verse before we jump into it. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says this: "And let us consider how to stir," there you go, right? Real clever, stir sticks, right? "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." So we are continuing on from last week, from the therefore that we saw that begins this section of scriptures. The therefore connecting what it was talking to about how Jesus is our great sacrifice. Much of what Hebrews is, as we talked about last week, is this sermon about how Jesus fulfills all of the Old Testament covenants. That there's no longer any need for sacrifices, no longer any need for a high priest to offer daily sacrifices for our sins. Jesus is it for us. And that was the beautiful truth we read at the beginning of chapter 10, that Jesus went once for all to the cross, died for our sins, and those who put their faith in him no longer need the curtain, the temple, to go into God's presence. We have full confidence to stand before God, to know that we are forgiven, our sins are atoned for, we are redeemed, we have a new relationship with God forever. And that is where last week we got the "let us draw near with hearts of confidence. Let us hold fast to our faith, not wavering, living boldly for Christ." And today we get another "let us" statement, how we are to consider to stir up one another to love and good works. So I want to break down two parts of this verse that I think will help us to understand what we're meant to do. And this first part, consider. What does the word "consider" mean? And I thought through it again. I thought into my life. Where in these areas of my life am I seeing how to live out this word of consider? I thought marriage is a great, again, another example of this. And I thought to myself, I'm so thankful that before I got married, my parents were very gracious, let me live at home, you know, save some money. But I think more than that, I'm just thankful I didn't live on my own for a period of time. where I got used to living how I wanted to live. Dirty, throwing things around, let the sink pile up because who cares? I mean, honestly, there wouldn't be a sink. It'd be paper plates and paper cups, right? If I'm living by myself, my Gladiator poster's hanging up in the living room, right? I'm doing whatever I want. That's a man cave all around. Now, I'm married, and I love my beautiful wife, and I need to consider her in these things, right? No longer can I just leave stuff out. I probably got to clean these dishes. I'm sure my wife's not going to want to do that, so let me consider her, think of her, and I'm going to help out around the house. I'm going to not be a pig. I'm going to be a good husband and make sure everything's clean. I think parents. Parents is a great, another example of what it means to consider. So a few weeks ago, we went to Florida, had a wonderful vacation, stayed in a condo that had a pool. We walked down to the beach. Now, you don't have kids, going down to the beach is easy. For me, it's you get the SPF 100, spray every 2 hours, don't get burned. Take one towel, right, and then just do whatever you want. Now we got a baby. Okay, do we have the tent? Do we have the pack and play? Do we have his toys? Do we have his water? Do we have his snacks? Do we have his sunscreen? Do we have his towel? And what is he going to want where he's going to be entertained because the water's going to entertain him for 2 minutes? You have to consider so much, and it becomes just a job to go to the beach with the baby, and it's like, all right, go to the pool. We're not dealing with this. Consider. It's thinking of the other people. And in the original language, now I'm not any Greek scholar, not pretending to be, but reading through commentary sometimes, being able to see what was the original language here? What is the word meant to give to us? Now, we don't have a great English translation for what the original Greek was. The best we can do is this idea of considering. But the definition of what it meant was look at one another. Think of one another. Focus on one another. Study one another. Let your mind be occupied with one another. This is what this word is conveying to us. More than just a simple think of other people, right? Which, let's be real, what that usually is I have a quick thought and then, you know what, I'm going to do what I want to do anyways, right? It is this much more intimate, much more caring way to view other people in the church. Now, what's really unique is that this word of consider is only used one other time in the New Testament. And it's actually in the book of Hebrews as well. So go to Hebrews chapter 3, if you want to go a few pages earlier, or you can follow along screen with me. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. It says, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. The only other time this word consider is used is in relationship to Jesus. Consider Jesus. So if we use this original language, right, think about Jesus. Look to Jesus. Let your mind be occupied with Jesus, right? This is the biggest part of our relationship with Christ, to consider him at all times, to be looking to him, thinking of him, loving him. This is what it means to follow Jesus. And the same is true then we apply that to our lives with other believers. In the same way we consider Jesus, where we think about Jesus, it takes away thought about ourselves. When Jesus is on our mind, that's where the humility comes in. Where all of a sudden, where you used to be the center of the universe, you have this great Savior that you are considering. Less of you, more of him. And the same thought with the word consider is applied to what we are meant to do. Let us consider one another. Now, what I think is so amazing here is that our understanding of how to consider one another directly flows from our relationship with Jesus. For us to be able to know how to actually consider one another in a healthy way, in a way that builds up and in a way that encourages one another, it directly flows from our relationship with Christ. And that's why the gospel is so important. That's why we always preach the gospel. I talk about the gospel. The more that we understand what Jesus did for us, which is that Jesus, for the foundations of the world, God set forth his Son, knowing our sin, knowing our weaknesses. He came and lived perfectly on our behalf.
And then he goes to the cross and takes the payment for our sins that we can never pay. Does the work that we can never do. Although we may think we're deserving at times. And if you ever think that, please humble yourself. Correct yourself. We are never deserving of the grace that we find in Jesus. Jesus then goes to the cross, dies for our sins, buried, rises again, defeats death, hell, and the grave. That forever, as we talked about last week, we no longer need a sacrifice. We now have the greatest truth in the world that changes our lives forever. The more we consider Jesus and know that truth and understand truly what grace is, completely undeserving, completely unmeriting, owing on nothing of our part, and what humbles us more than that, and what takes ourselves out of our own brains to go, you know what, if Jesus, the God of the universe, can die for me, who is so undeserving, how can I consider those who he died for? How can I think of you, to look to you, to study you? And that is what our calling here is. Stop thinking of ourselves so much. When we read this word, consider, this is what we should see. Stop thinking about just us. And I think that's a collective call, because I think every single one of us, no matter what we want to say, falls into this. Because that's our flesh and our pride. I think also for Western Christianity, in America, is produced just consumer Christianity, where church and gathering together is just about, what can this church give me? And we look at why people leave churches and go to churches. Well, the music was too loud or it was too quiet. I didn't like the songs they sang. And I think that's, I'm kind of falling into that. That's why it's not, we shouldn't view our church and music, because when I was 18 and started to come back to church, I was like, man, there's too many hymns in this church. I want some contemporary. I want some rock. Like, I want to hear band. I want all of it. And now recently, I'm like, I'm tired of the band. I want hymns. Let's bring it back. I'm turning into like an old man or something, right? Just kidding. Hymns are great, okay? But what's the color of the carpet? What programs do they have or don't have? Is it paper or digital? What's going on? Like, all of these things of what can this church give me? And all the while, we are missing what's the call of the church. Stop thinking about ourselves so much. Let us do what? Consider each other. Consider how we can build up one another. How can we love each other, encourage each other? That's the call of the scriptures here. But there's so many people in America. We see it happen all the time. Man, I love this church. Things going great. And then, oh, that one box isn't checked off. It's not 100% exactly how I want it. What happens? Ah, they just didn't love me. I got to find something different. This consumeristic mindset, rather than, man, what am I supposed to do as the body of Christ? What's my call? Consider one another. Not what can this church give me, but rather, how can I build up the other believers here? That's our calling as followers of Christ. And then looking at the second half of this verse, so we have, that's, let us consider, right? Let us think about one another. What are we meant to do when we think and consider each other? He says, consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So again, that's where the stick comes in. We got our stir stick, right? Consider how are we stirring each other? And really the goal with this, if you are going to go really overboard, set it right in your Bible here in Hebrews chapter 10. So that it's a reminder for you. How are you stirring? What way are you stirring other believers in the church? I think of myself, though. A couple people, there was the same thought I had with this verse, right? The stir stick. Are you stirring the pot? So for myself, my friend group, I think that's the way we love each other. We just stir the pot with one another.
So we all know the trigger words. We know it's going to get him angry. We know it's going to get him riled up. And that's like my spiritual gift. I love doing that. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe the pastor shouldn't be saying that was how to stir you to love and good works. But in my friend group, I love doing that. It's actually a funny story. A couple weeks ago, my friend, we're so excited for him. They just found out that they're expecting another baby. A really close friend group. But we found out not from him. He hadn't told us yet. And so me and my friend instantly were like, okay, let's mess with him a bit. Right, so he already has a child that's just turned one. And so we were like, okay, let's go to staff meetings and let's just start talking about how much we don't want another baby right now. Let's tell him, man, could you imagine two under two? Could you imagine how crazy that would be having another baby? You really don't want another kid right now, do you? We were gonna like really amp it up. And he took the fun away from us by telling us right when he got there that they were expecting another kid. But I was so ready to stir the pot there, right? That's what we kind of think about this stir. But truthfully, our lives are a stir stick. How we talk, how we act, our attitude, what our faces say, everything about who we are is a stir stick. So the question is, how are you stirring? Which way are you stirring? Because I think we are either doing what the verse says here, stirring to love and good works, or we're stirring the opposite direction. We're either doing it positively or we're doing it negatively. I don't think there's an in-between. Sometimes we think complacency, just kind of being, sitting here, not doing much, that's not bad, it's just indifferent. Well, if you're not stirring for love and good works, and you're failing to see your purpose here within the body. We all are called to stir one another to love and good works. But too often what happens in the church is we have people stirring for problems, stirring for disunity. Now, I don't want to stay on that too long because I really do think the point and the tone of this verse is positive. It's encouragement. I think that's what is meant to be conveyed here. View this in a positive light. This is what you get to do. Look how you can love one another. But I do think the warning should be there as well. The warning of the dangers of stirring in the wrong direction. So Proverbs 26:20 is a verse that I thought about with this. It says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." I think one of the biggest ways that we stir within the church, whether for good or bad, is with our words. What we say, the tongue, is so powerful for either good or for evil. It is so powerful for stirring to love and good works or for stirring to problems and disunity. And what I love about this verse is that it says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. So there wouldn't be a fire if there was no wood. What's the wood for quarreling within the body of believers? Most of the time, it's our words. Quarreling. Right? So if there's no whisperer, if there's no one saying these things and planting these seeds and whispering these things, then there's no quarreling. But too often what happens is we have gossip, grumbling, complaining, scoffing. Now please hear, with this many people in a room, no matter what organization it is, if it's a family, bless you if you have this big of a family at a family reunion. I don't know how you do it. But you think of a church or a business, whatever. When you have this many people together, there's always going to be disagreements. There's always going to be things that we may not do exactly how the other person would do it. Or we think we should be doing something else or whatever it may be. Please hear with this, disagreements are okay. We can have disagreements and still stir one another to love and good works. But it's how do we handle those differences? And truthfully, I want more differences here of people. I don't want us to be the same type of people. I want us to bring in all tongues and all languages and all nations and all sorts of people hearing the gospel so that we can be the people of God, which then is going to bring differences. That's okay. How do we handle that? There's that fine line between saying, hey, I have this issue, whether it's with a person, whether it's with a program or a decision, maybe it's with me. There's a fine line in going, I have this problem, how do I fix it, to, I really just want to gossip about my issue.
Can you believe they did that? You know, I heard around town there's something going on with their family. Can you believe they're going through that? That's not building up. That's not stirring to love and good works. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only as such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it." When we think about, I hope that we really grasp this importance of stirring, so that we become a people that if there is gossip among us, if there is quarreling within our friend groups or complaining, we go, "This isn't us." We don't do that. We build up one another. We encourage one another. And so if there's an issue, if there's gossip, you say, let's figure this out. We're a family. We're the body of Christ. And we can't tear each other apart. It's so, so important. And that's one of the dangers if we begin to stir in the wrong direction. But he says here, stir for love and good works. The focus here is on helping one another become more loving people. That's what it's about. How can you help someone become a more loving person? How can you help them become a deeper, closer follower of Christ? You know, we always want a purpose. I think in our lives, we're always looking, what's my purpose in life? What job should I have? What career path should I follow? Who should I marry? Where do I invest my money? What can I do with my life? And I was listening to a sermon this week, and he said, what if we have a purpose here? What if the Word of God here gives us a purpose? And what if we woke up each day saying, what can I do today so that they will be stirred to love and good works? If that's your purpose of life, you have a pretty great purpose. If that's what you live to do, man, you are doing something that has so much value, that truly does matter. We have so many ways that we can do this. We live in an age that makes it so easy to instantly communicate with someone. Text messages, phone calls, social media. Man, I've been seeing it recently. Some people in our church, they'll post something of a hard time that's going on in their lives, and instantly I'm seeing church members respond on it, and it's so wonderful. Because it's just a little comment. It's just a small thing, but man, you know it means so much to those people when they see the encouragement of other believers. What if you woke up this week and just texted someone from the church, and I'm thinking about you? Give them a phone call. How's everything going? Let's talk. Think of Sunday mornings. That's an easy place for us to do that. Sunday mornings, we have the opportunity to serve and to love people. What if we just went up to someone on Sunday mornings who's new to serving and say, you know what, you're doing a wonderful job. Or if it's someone who's been doing it for a while and say, hey, I see your faithfulness. I see what you are doing to love people. You're doing awesome. It takes nothing out of us to do that. But how far does it go for that person? Here's a crazy one. What if on Sundays when we're all gathered together, we just went up to people and prayed for them? Not because things are bad, not because they may have a sickness or a struggle, but just to encourage them. Wild thoughts. What if we just did that? What if we just started living as the Bible calls us to live, to stir one another to love and good works? You know how much that would mean to someone for you to go, you know, I've been thinking about you this week. I saw you on Sunday morning. Can I just pray for you? No idea what's going on. Maybe things are great. You still need prayer. What if we just started doing that and making this culture of people who pray for one another? Now, an implication of the command to stir one another is that if other people need stirring, we need it too. This verse doesn't have stipulations. It's not saying those who are struggling, those who are going through a hard time, they are the ones who need stirring. It's not just for volunteers and leaders and the pastors to stir people. All of us need it. And I'll put my hand up first and foremost. I'm as I need it. I need your stirring. Other pastors at other locations, they need your stirring. Leaders, we all need this stirring. And this happened for me this week. I get to meet every week with a couple of guys from the church. We do a leadership thing, we go through a book. And we just always ask, how's life going? What's going on in your life? What are things that are happening? And one of them is like, you know, things are going great. This is happening. And he shared a story about his son. His son's been coming to church. It's great. It's awesome. He's excited. And they were doing like their Bible time as a family together. And he just was so excited about communion where he went and got water and a cracker. And I was like, we're doing communion right now. A little boy. I tell you what, that fired me up. I saw that picture, that video. That got me going. That stirred me up to love and good works because what we do matters. That's a little kid in kids' church hearing about the gospel, seeing adults do communion, following what the scripture tells us to do, and he's wanting to live that way. If that doesn't jack you up, I don't know what will. That was amazing. Are we doing that regularly for each other? Are we telling people how God is moving in our life? Are we seeing God move in our life? And if not, what do we need to change? If all we ever have to say to people is the problems going on, not that we shouldn't share our problems, but if it's always just a complaint, this could be better, that could be better, this could be better, we should do this, this, this. We always can have those things. Does that stir up one another for love and good works? How many times have we said, you know, I've been having this conversation with a guy at work, and I got to pray with him today. Man, my family member who never wanted to even sniff the Bible, they've been asking about it recently. How about, man, we saw someone get baptized last week. How wonderful was that? How are we stirring up one another to love and good works? It is so important for us. Now, verse 25 gives us the way in which we do this. He says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I remember to consider each other. Think of other people more than ourselves. Stir them up to loving good works, to be motivated, stimulated to follow Jesus. Now, the avenue through which we do this is regularly meeting with each other. In one sense, this is our weekly gatherings. And I believe this is what this text is saying, that we should not neglect to meet together weekly to hear the word of God preached, and to worship together as the body of believers. We should not neglect to do that. I know life gets busy. I know there's going to be certain seasons where you may not be able to come every week. But if possible, and I wouldn't say if possible, we should make it possible to be together every week with the other believers in Christ, because we need to hear the word of God preached. We need the word of God preached to us to build us up as followers of Jesus. We need to be worshiping together, seeing other people worship God. We need to see people repent, be baptized, be saved. We need these things to encourage us in our walk. And we need to do this participating collectively. Old and young, married and unmarried, children. Again, case in point, a little boy saw adults doing communion, heard about it, and he wanted to apply that to his life. If that's not more of an example for us of why we need to do this, I don't know what is. But in another sense, another very important sense, I believe this is a call to be a part of growth communities. Now, you can insert whatever phrase you want there, small group, Bible study, these more intimate, smaller groups of believers that are helping you grow in your walk with Christ. Now, the reason we call it a growth community and not a Bible study is because we want to study the Bible. We want to know doctrine, but it goes beyond that. We want to be in community with each other. We don't just want to show up each week to a class and learn facts about the Bible, but how can we apply that to our life? Who do we have to lean on in prayer in times of struggle? Who do we have each week to be encouraging to know what's going on in their life? Because we can't do that in this big of a group. It's just not possible. No one has the capacity to do that. We need these smaller groups, more intimate, loving, to be encouraged by one another, to be stirred by one another. Next week, we have our fall cookout. I'm excited to have a meal together, to be together. It was a great time last year. It's going to be a great time this year. We have some good food. How do you turn down hot dogs? I don't know. But the point of next week is not just to have a meal, but it's to get out information for our growth communities and encourage you to find one. If you want a part of growth community, the tagline is find your people. What night of the week works for you? What group do you want to be in? Because you need it. We all need it. Yes, the meal is going to be great. We're going to have a bounce house with the kids. We're going to play games. But let us not leave next week neglecting this call. Do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. And really what this passage is God calling us through his word to break a habit of non-participation and to encourage a habit of participation in gatherings and growth communities. Truthfully, as we grow, it's why we need more growth communities. It's why we need more growth community leaders. It's why we need one for every night of the week. Because we need each other to be encouraged, to be stirred. We need intimate groups where it's not about just doing a study. That's part of it. But it's about where you have a community of people that know you, who can help you. So, so important. Now this verse wraps up on a phrase that I want to center on as we finish. He says, do this all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, the preacher here gives us a reminder for why we should take this command seriously. He says, as the day is drawing near. What this means is the day when Christ returns. The day when Jesus returns. The day when we get to be with him in his presence forever. And as I was reading the commentaries, it's happening for us soon one way or another. Either we pass through death into eternal life with him, or Lord willing, we get to see him come in glory, hear the trumpet sound, see his glory in that. But please see, it says, as the day is drawing near. It was the eager expectation of the first century church, and it should be ours as well. And our great Bible, Revelation, ends with a wonderful verse in Revelation 22:20 that says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We don't know when that day is. We don't know when that day will be for us, as I mentioned it last week. But we see in the scripture, when's it coming? Soon. The day is drawing near. And as we approach that day, we need the encouragement of other believers to keep going. Because as we all know, life is hard. Death happens. Heartbreak happens. Troubling situations, loss of job. We have our own sin we fight with. We know the battles within our own heart, the things that are trying to pull our allegiance away, addictions, sin that just wants to corrupt and poison and kill. There's spiritual warfare that we go through. And Satan, the enemy, our flesh, wants to use these things to convince us it's not worth it. Walk away. Don't persevere. This struggle, this pain, it's not worth it. God's not there for you. God doesn't care for you. God doesn't love you.
We all are going to go through this. This isn't an easy walk. Walking this step after step until eventually one day we're for Jesus forever. How do we keep doing that? I can tell you for sure it's not by yourself. It's not individually. And what's beautiful as we see this command here in Hebrews is that God actually uses other believers. God can use you to help sustain another follower of Christ. God can use you right now to encourage someone who is the lowest part of their life. Isn't that wonderful? Talk about purpose. What better purpose is there in this world than to help a broken heart and to do what God has commanded us to do? Let us consider one another. To think more about others than ourselves. And let us think about how we can stir them to love and good works. To fight against the temptation to gossip and to complain and to grumble and to plant seeds of disunity and problems. Let us love one another enough to think, how can I build you up? And do so through the avenues of not neglecting to meet together. So even if you don't want to wait till next week, if you want to hear about the growth communities we have, come talk to me. Come talk to someone with a guest services lanyard. Find a time that works for you. Find a group that you can be a part of. And watch how God will use that to encourage you to follow him in this life. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we thank you so much for this amazing day. And Father, I want to pray for everyone right now. And I ask that you would help us to consider how we can take this call personally. How we, no matter what stage of our walk we're in, whether it's just started recently or we've been following you for years upon years, help us to consider how we can be a church that stirs one another up to love and good works, that fights against the schemes of the devil that wants to tear us apart, that wants to divide us. Lord, through your Spirit, give us the grace and the strength to live this out. I pray that you would encourage us through other believers, that you would encourage me through the wonderful people you've blessed me with. Father, we love you. We thank you. And we pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen.